welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a wine that challenges the show as they taste Thomas Goss's Shiraz from McLaren Valley in Australia. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I was thinking about doing this episode in the voice of Samuel L. Jackson.
Why?
But I think that would be off color. I would be cursing way too much, more than the normal cursing.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I like him as a character.
Okay, that's good. On tonight's show, completely unrelated. I don't know what the relevance of what Scott said, but nevertheless.
Why would that be any different?
That's true. We have, and this is going to be unusual because we don't do this very often.
Why don't you pick a movie that Samuel Jackson's in and that's the character I'll go for.
A Long Kiss Goodnight.
No, pick something else. Pick something else.
Something that's less obscure. Coming to America.
He's in like 30 seconds. Well.
But I'm going to fuck with you if I'm going to play with it.
How about the Snakes movie?
I never saw that one. So anyway, on tonight's show.
Anybody else.
That's true. On tonight's show, we have an Australian Shiraz. And I know that you know that I've had my issues, my misgivings with Australian Shirazes.
You're
but
offensive.
That's true.
You mock them.
But we drink a lot of bad Australian Shirazes when we drink them. Australian Shirazes, they're good ones from, you know, like Barossa. There's also good ones from McLaren Vale. And that's what this is. This is from McLaren Vale. It's Thomas Goss, the 2016 Shiraz from McLaren Vale. McLaren Vale is another wine, I suppose we'd call it an AVA, right? I don't know what they call it.
The regions.
Yeah, wine regions. Right around Adelaide, not too far from Barossa, Clare Valley, Eden Valley, the good area. And it's typically a little more restrained, a little more elegant, theoretically, than a Barossa Shiraz. And I tend to enjoy that quite a bit. Even though I like a Barossa Shiraz occasionally, the McLaren Vale I really do enjoy, historically. And there's some very good wines from there, quite frankly. So, this is interesting. It's a bit of a test. We're actually lining up a few Shirazes here to get some more variety on the show. We've done a lot of Pinots recently. We've done Cabernet, obviously, and Zinfandel historically. But there are many varietals that we haven't really scratched the surface on, and that's what we're getting into now.
Well, and more than that, it's been eons since we've done an Australian.
It really has been.
A year?
Probably. And there's so many to drink that we have a lot of work to do.
Did we have maybe an Australian port?
Yeah, we've done Australian ports.
I think that was our last one we did.
We've done several Australian ports, yes. We're very keen on that. But Shiraz, I don't know. We did, what the hell was that? We've done a few that I'm sure we haven't aired, like Greg Norman. We've done, what was that, Pepper or something? I don't remember what that was. Pepper something.
Something Ridge?
That did air. We've done Penfolds. It hasn't aired, I'm sure. The Penfolds Canunga Hill Shiraz Cab.
Yes. That one wasn't.
We thought it was metallic. It was
bad.
Steve was on that episode, I believe. We didn't care for it too much. And I'm sure there's been a few others, but I don't really recall right off. And we've never aired it, partly because the episode was just a clusterfuck. But we've done Molly Duker's Carnival of Love. Maybe we'll do the 11 someday. But we did an 05 of that. And I believe that's McLaren Vale. Maybe this will be just the same. I don't know.
So, you know, credit to Wine Folly in Australian wine regions. Then they have a zone, and then they have a geographic indication.
Yes.
So and inside Barossa, you have Barossa, you have Eden Valley of Adelaide Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Lofty ranges. You have Adelaide Plains, Clare Valley, and McLaren Vale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot of interesting things, and it's very exciting.
I don't know if that's exciting. Geographic indication.
No, that's never exciting, but nevertheless.
But it's regions and AVAs and a sub-AVA.
True.
Essentially.
Well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and get into this wine here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back. So the 2016 Thomas Goss, I keep saying Gloss, it's Thomas Goss.
It's just so glossy.
McLaren Vale Shiraz. Now, the Thomas Goss label, I wouldn't say this is interesting. I would just say it is what it is. This winery is owned by Penny's Hill. Mm. I've heard of them. Basically, Thomas Goss was some sort of Australian pioneer. No, he was the owner of this winery, but they considered him a pioneer of sorts. And the ground, and then it was sold to Penny's Hill, I think in the late 90s, and so they've been making wine at this winery, or this estate, under this name for some time now. But it's a product line that, you know, they have some shitty stuff. This is kind of their mid-grade, and then I think they've made the Penny's Hill really the more expensive stuff in the 20s to 30s range. This is $17.99.
Okay.
Now, it does have a couple reviews. The first review, we'll go with the lowest one first. It got an 89 from the Wine Enthusiast. They're very enthusiastic.
They're very enthusiastic.
But Scott, it got a seller selection at an 89.
Oh.
And they wrote, "This is a big but not overblown old school style of South Aussie Shiraz, offering up notes of plums, black cherries, chocolate, coffee, dried herbs, and black olives. The first sip yields a mouthful of tight grain tannins and slightly hot alcohol, plus plenty of ripe, juicy fruit. Give this time for those tannins to loosen their grip. Drink 2020 to 2028 at least." Ooh. And then the Wine Spectator. Oh, the Wine Spectator. They provided it 92 of their points. They were very generous.
They always are.
And they wrote, well, not always, but they wrote, "Shows good density to the bittersweet chocolate," which would be good if it did, "hazelnut," which sounds nice, "and blackberry pie flavors," all nice. "Would sink your teeth into them tannins that add richness to the complex blend of flavors." I like that description.
Yeah.
It's kind of dopey with "sink your teeth into them," but that's okay.
Well, dry grain tannins.
Yes. "Clove, nutmeg, and cumin aromas linger on the long finish."
There weren't much.
How do aromas linger on the finish?
Yeah.
"Drink now through 2028. So they agree 2028 is the year, and that's quite some time for a $17 wine. So let's get into this one. First of all, in the glass, it's dark. Dark, plummy, crimson looking thing.
Which you would expect.
Yeah. And the label, very simple, white with a silverish lettering. Very simple,
yeah, so
basic.
This line is to mark the 200th anniversary of the birth of Thomas Goss, who,
yes,
he made his money in the Australian Gold Rush.
Yes, and it's all written on the back of the label, which I would read to you, but I don't want to.
No, don't.
14.5% alcohol.
But you'd be surprised if an Australian Shiraz wasn't this deep, dark, dense.
Yep.
But the nose, it's
What's good?
Methylated alcohol.
Methylated alcohol and lots of fucking blackberries.
Yeah.
It's pungent.
It's pungent, almost sharp, almost burning your nose, son.
That's why that's what I say about Shiraz, is they're a little bit too brutish.
This if the wine in the glass follows the nose, it's going to be a beast.
Get in there a little bit more, Scott. Get in that. The methylated alcohol is a lot.
Give you mocha in the background.
Mocha. I smell a little bit of that nutmeg, too.
If you want to. Something like that.
If you want to.
If you want it to be there.
Sure. The clove and nutmeg, I do smell. If you want to. I love that. If you want to.
If you want it to be there.
That's so condescending.
Well.
If you want to.
I get maybe an earthy tone. I'm not going to be.
Well,
as
you're not very
akin. No. It's well established. My schnoz is more sensitive.
No, I don't think so. It does. I do smell the clove and nutmeg. It smells like French toast. If you put clove and nutmeg in your mix. It does. Sorry, you're too stupid to know. Let's go into this wine. I'm a little scared. This is like the magnum versions of most wines. And I don't mean like, I mean like magnum, a gun kind of. It's a little more supercharged.
Not like magnum, like the size of the bottle, but it's like you're afraid it's going to go off in your hand, the kind of magnum.
Kind of, yes.
You feeling like Dirty Harry? Or do you?
Hey, man. A man's got to know his limitations.
Feel lucky.
I just used that again, did I?
Do you, punk?
Here we go.
Might have been six. Might have been five. But you don't know, do you? So the question you have to ask yourself is, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? No, it's cool, man. It's cool, man.
Oh, where to begin?
I know where I want to begin. Right on, as soon as that hit my mouth, I get sour oak. And I'll be honest, that is the predominant. I it's, right now it's overwhelming me. Hopefully, this is one of those things where once you know what to expect, you're able to pull out other things. But right now, I'm going to be brave and go back in, but I don't want to because of that strong sour oak.
I understand what they're saying. God damn. Okay. Yeah, I understand, Scott. Okay. Let's start this again. Let's breathe in. Get your feet in. This is the this is the problem with Australian wines. Sometimes these big Shirazes are just so pungent. It's pungent. Yes, you're right. There is prominent oak punching you in the face, but beyond that, there's a tobacco streak that isn't really counterbalanced with some big fruit. The fruit is really overwhelmed by the oak tobacco that punches into spice and a little bit of heat and tannin. There's a lot of stuff there. It's just not what you would atypically attribute to something that you would consume by putting
just stop
in your
right there.
Body.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not typically attributable
well,
to something
not
you
in
consume.
Human. You put it in your car.
Maybe if you had disrespect for your car.
I mean, you might. I'm
gonna say.
What
this.
Is the viscosity on this?
I don't think it's as heavy as you think. It's just you
no,
want
no, no.
it to be heavy.
I meant flavor wise. No. It actually is medium bodied in my opinion.
Yeah,
it's not full bodied. It's full flavored.
This is just not a drink now wine.
No, it's no. Lord God, no. Please do not drink it now. Drink it in 2022 or 2023.
Or don't.
You could do that. I'll be honest. I've had a lot of different Australian Shirazes, Barossa and this, and a lot of them take this same route. They do require years before they start showing that fruit. If the sweet blackberry, which I know is there.
Because of the nose.
There's
some fruit that's going to express itself. Maybe it wouldn't be blackberry. You know, sometimes.
I think it's going to be blackberry.
Sometimes the nose, it's not going to demonstrate in the bottle, but there's going to be some berry component to this.
If it peaked through and counterbalanced the rest
anything.
Of the stuff, you would have a much, much, much better wine. A really good wine, actually. If you had a big, bold blackberry up front, a big, jammy blackberry, it would balance it out. Right now, there isn't anything there to balance it out.
No, and that's probably a good thing, because if something peeked through along these lines, the police would have to arrest it.
Well, they this might is want to anyway. But.
Yeah. And it truly is.
At least
is.
Thomas Goss doesn't have to drink it because he's dead.
He's dead. Indeed.
Oh, God. It's dry. I mean, how's that? It's not 19 crimes or anything.
But honestly?
It's not an oak chip. It's all oak barrel.
It's not a big tannin bomb either.
No, I don't get that.
It's got a decent tannic structure, but the oaking of this is overwhelmed.
It's salty oak.
I can't get past that sour, but it is one of those things where once you've tasted the worst of it, you know what to expect, and it doesn't grab you by the throat as much. But that there's that little burn that concerns me, too.
It's a slight burnt, charred oak. If it were a toasty oak, that might be more pleasurable. But it ain't. It's a burnt, slightly burnt oak. It's not acrid, but it is in that ballpark a little bit. You start scratching your head and saying, what were you thinking when you were doing this? How much did you pay the enthusiast, or the spectator, and the enthusiast?
It just needs time, but...
Would you give it time?
I have no interest in this.
You have to drink something. You have to have a positive experience up front with something before you say, yes, I will waste time putting this in my cellar. I mean, you'd have to have some sort of positive experience. I bought this because of the 92 from the Spectator and a 1799, which is value priced, kind of. And it was McLaren Valley. It checked a lot of boxes.
Cellar selection.
Yeah, I didn't know that
now,
then.
Okay, I'm going to double back a little bit. That tobacco that's there,
mm-hmm.
I wonder what else is there with it, if there's some other expression of minerality there.
Oh, it's,
that would pop through.
There's tons of minerality, Scott. But there has to be balance in a wine, and there isn't a balance in this wine. It's underripe berry all the way through. Underripe. I mean, underripe. It's green on the vine.
Green. Actually, it tastes like way underripe gray skins.
It does. And then that's counterbalanced with this, or balanced, I guess, if you want to use that term, with tobacco and strong mineral elements that are buttressed, that are kind of, I wouldn't even say buttressed, they are a product of the oaking. So the oaking is giving off these things that I'm attributing to minerality. And is it minerality? Is
I'm
it
just
oak?
Calling them sour.
It is, because it leads into something of a finish that, is it tannin? Okay.
Is it tannin or is it?
But it's not the kind of tannin that you want. There isn't a finish that is long.
The only thing similar on the back palate to minerality is and I'm not even going to call it minerality. There's a metallicness about this finish.
Well, that's the salty sharpness to it.
Like when you've welded and been exposed to welding and you kind of get that taste in your mouth, that metallic taste in your mouth, it's not like beer that's been in the can too long, that metallic.
Somebody dropped a copper penny in your... I just don't know who we've offended to have to drink this, but we'll drink it. It's drinkable.
Or will we?
I'll keep drinking it because I'm assuming that I'm missing something. So I have to keep drinking it.
Don't know what it is. You should apply that to more areas in your life.
I don't know. Or I've done something bad. I'm gonna put more in my glass. Oh, jeez. I'm going to put more in my glass because that's the key. Got
to
be
to what? Self-punishment?
Yes.
Just deflagrate yourself.
I don't have a belt on to take off and whip myself with, so I will drink this.
What, you loaned it to Jeffrey Epstein? What? I mean, that he had?
Let me just say this.
He wasn't supposed to have a belt in his cell.
Penny's Hill. Leave the grapes on the vine just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Get a little bit more ripeness.
You know, when they meant hand-pick the grapes, they didn't mean pick the little odd color ones that are one-third the size of the rest of the grapes.
That means they're better.
Those are the ones you dispose of. But it's got more dense fruit. No, it's just got more skin.
Hey, this is the Fry Brothers. We'd like to talk about our new investment in Australia.
Yes, we would.
Now, Australia... Where is that? That's in Europe, right?
Yeah, Australian.
Yes. It, what? Oh, shit. Never mind. I mean, I don't know. It's not Fry Brothers bad.
Or is it?
I don't know what it is. I did not expect it to taste like this. I thought it would be good. And I thought I was going to have this elegant-ish Shiraz that you're going to talk about and enjoy and... In reality, you get very extract medicinal juice.
Yeah, I wish it was medicinal because
just
it wouldn't
a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Forget sugar.
Medicine go down. Medicine go down.
Currant? Plum, prune, something.
Oh, that's the things you wish it had.
Something.
Well, the Spectator says it has blackberry pie flavors.
Nothing. Nope. No chocolate.
I never knew blackberry pie tasted like butthole.
No chocolate. No coffee. It's deplorable.
Scott, this has subtle French oak. It says that. Subtle French oak. Now, this is what... Oh, okay. Winemaker's note. This wine is rich and generously loaded with Satsuma plum.
What?
Satsuma. S-A-T-S-U-M-A. Satsuma?
Okay.
Maybe that's what Satsuma plum tastes like.
Yeah.
You don't want that plum.
Plumber's bug? What?
Satsuma. What? Satsuma plum.
Is that like Aborigine?
I don't know what that
asshole?
Is. Asshole? I don't know. Tastes like a Satsuma plum. Oh, do you want that?
That's a freaking hemorrhoid. Satsuma plum is a hemorrhoid.
I like this wine. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, that wine that we tasted. Pepper Jack? Is that what that thing was called?
Pepper Jack. Oh, my God. I thought you were talking about something.
It was so much better than this.
What is a Satsuma plum? It's a large plum with dark, solid red skin and flesh. The firm, juicy fruit has an excellent sweet flavor. Great for fresh eating.
Ooh, Scott, that was a better sip.
Or preserved.
Scott, that was a better sip. I said a better sip.
Okay, good for you.
I did. It was a good sip. Try a sip again.
What did you... put in your glass.
There's the bottom. It's the bottom half of the bottle that was better than the top half.
Maybe
it's corked. Oh no, it's not.
Let's just say I believe you.
That was a better. I think it just needs to open up, Scott. I really do.
It's been decanting for 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. It just needs more time. It needs like 8 hours. It needs more time. We'll give it more time. Come on. We'll just keep swirling it, man. Swirling it. It's our ignorance that caused this. It's not the wine's fault. I think there's something there.
Yes, it is. What do you think's there?
Oh, I don't know.
A cure for cancer?
Possibly.
The cause of cancer?
Yes. Cause of impotency?
Yeah, no, that's not that. It's
I'm just trying to give you an excuse.
I don't need an excuse.
Okay, you accepted it. That's good. Job.
No, I'm not accepting impotence. Soon to be 12 grandchildren. There's impotence is not on the table, son. Yeah, I don't get anything else out of this.
Mm.
Oh my God, what are you
it's
doing?
Delicious.
You're trying to talk yourself into this.
Oh, it's tannic now too.
Oh my God, this is. Please do this in the James Suckling voice. If you're going to talk yourself into this, talk yourself into
Scott,
it.
Scott, why don't you shut the fuck up? This is James Suckling. I have not had this wine because it's not Chilean. I will now, though, in my master class, drink this wine and give you a review. Here we go. What you first want to do, Scott, get your glass. and you will have to pay me $135 after we're done here. You will swirl it gently.
James, would that be in a left-to-right motion or a right-to-left motion?
I don't fucking care, Scott. Swirl it in your glass. If you're at the triple B, put it on the table so it's loud. And do this, so everyone can hear what you do. Because she's never heard of paper to put underneath the glass. So, now that we have it properly aerated. Faster, Scott, faster. You're shaking it, you're not...
I was in a shake.
All right. Now what you want to do, you want to raise the glass like this, at this angle, a 37-degree angle, Scott. 37.
That's more like 13, son.
Go fuck yourself.
Hey!
You tilt it slightly.
Quit talking about masturbation. No.
Mm.
No. Sour oak.
I got
sweet. It's giving me a headache.
Oh, it's tannic now, Scott.
Well, it's always been slightly tannic. Mm.
It's getting better. I swear to God. I'm sorry. It is getting better, Scott. It's opening up and ripening. It is a lot more expensive on the palate currently. I would provide this wine 832 of my points. Aggregate score 83, but still, no. I don't think so. This is going to be another Klein Ancient Vine Zin where we bash it on one episode, then we have it down the road and we love it.
I hope you do have it down the road and love it.
I think we're missing something here. I don't know what it is.
Wine.
No, we can't be wrong, or we can't be. The spectator can't be wrong at 92. I'm going to give 94, I think. I taste something here.
It's called...
I think it's good. I swear.
Satsuma Plum.
That is
i.e.
I didn't know what it was called. Now that I know, I realize why I like it.
Hemorrhoid ass.
That's being grotesque.
I'm not Mother Nature. I'm not the good Lord who blessed us with Satsuma Plum.
Okay, Scott. Smooth.
You can't even do it. You can't even pretend to like
this. It's slightly tannic now.
You can't even pretend to like this for the listeners. No, it's not slightly tannic.
It's tannic.
Slightly
oh, my
bad.
God. My face is going to crumble in on itself. Yes. You need more wine in the glass, first of all.
I do not.
I'm not being a smartass.
I do not.
I'll put more in mine if you put more. Look.
You just knock yourself out.
Oh, my God.
This shit is
take
awful.
More of
oh
this.
Oh, my God.
A little more for you. There we go. Okay, Scott. Oh, Jesus. That is so fucking tannic now.
Not
okay.
Really.
Now, Scott. Okay. This sip, Scott. The yep. Tannins are still ripping my face off. I'm not joking. I'm not being a smartass. You really, really, really have to work it. And I mean running your tongue through it, putting it in a sieve. You have to do like some scientific experiments in your mouth kind of stuff. Eventually, if you work that thing, and I mean washing your tongue through it, eventually, you get to a wine that demonstrates insane tannin. There is a bit of fruit. There still is that streak of tobacco and oak, but it's a dense ass fucking barrel sample of a core of a wine that isn't ready today. It ain't ready tomorrow. It ain't ready in 2020. I wouldn't touch it to 2024. And in 2024, you might have a good wine there. I'm not sure that it's worth buying it to do that. But I think that's what's there. This is a wine that is rare in the fact that it really is a barrel sample. I mean, we've had some stuff that we knew wasn't ready. This really isn't ready. This is so not ready to drink currently.
If this,
it's ridiculous.
If
that's what that's the problem here. It's, 'cause
for sure, and we said that from the beginning.
It is so tightly wound,
for now.
So hidden in there that you have to do absurd tricks of nature that you wouldn't do. And like you said, you have to invent a new way of drinking it to make it drinkable. You've said that before, but it's accurate in this case because it's so beyond the norm and bizarre.
I just don't know how any aging is going to help the sour oak.
Oh, it's going to lengthen. Everything, I think, age-wise, everything about this wine will be cured. I'm surprised that, because it's not, because it's two things working at the same time. It's that minerality tobacco streak with that oak at that same time right now that happens to be doing that. However, as time goes on, you're going to see those chemicals break down and create something different, and they're not going to be like that. It's just naturally going to break down and spread out. But more consequentially, you're probably going to have the core fruit that is really hidden there, really hidden, develop and sweeten.
Or at least express itself. But I think...
I will buy more of this simply because...
Just to find out.
Well, yeah. Say you buy one bottle at $17.99, just one. Put it away for 7 to 10 years. Just to see what happens.
Just to find out.
Yeah, it's cheap enough that it warrants that.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that because it definitely...
Did you just fart? What was
that?
No,
that was his mouth, face.
Oh, it was the fugal horn?
I just don't believe the sour oak will be bye-bye by then.
But it's not, though. You heard what I said.
I did.
It's two things at the same time currently that won't be there eventually.
The only thing that makes me uncertain about my position on this is that wonderful expression of tobacco. But it's so overwhelmed by everything else. And yes, there's tannins here, but this isn't the most tannic wine. This isn't anything close to the descriptions of tannins they called it.
Scott, draw a shit. I mean, that is the most tannic damn thing I've had. Oh my good God. You draw an obscene amount of air. It is one of the most tannic things I've ever drank in my life. I mean, we're talking, you have to first of all have a decent amount of wine in your mouth. And I mean, we're drawing a shit ton of air. It is absurdly tannic. It didn't start out this way, but more in the glass, more with the air, it's starting to show. I bet if you leave it in the glass in an hour, it's going to be something different. Remember Clarendon Hills? I'm not saying this is not Clarendon Hills. My God.
How dare you?
But it's the same principle. That's what this wine is.
Except that wine was spectacular, and this wine is questionable. Yeah, I think the other thing that's possibility with this wine, if you let it sit in the glass for an hour, that it would eat through the glass.
Well, isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah, if you're having dinner with Putin and you're trying to assassinate him,
it might do that. But
you know what this wine would be good for? Hiding poisonous chemicals in it that you're
going to assassinate. Oh, you would never pick up anything, would you?
You can pick up shit.
That's because it's a beast of a... This is just too manly for you. Do you want to get the Riesling out so you can be more comfortable in your own skin? This is a man's wine. This is a manly wine.
This is not a man's wine.
Well,
this
it's a psychotic man's wine.
Bad wine.
This is like...
This is not a good wine.
Is Sylvester Stallone in the movie Cobra drank wine? No, he would drink White Zinfandel, actually. No, if the guy that was like murdering people in Cobra drank wine, this is what he would drink.
I think this is...
Cobra would probably drink White Zin.
I think this is a perfect time to drop a Frank Stallone reference.
Have you ever seen the movie Cobra, Scott?
Yes.
You see at the beginning of the movie, the thing that vexes me. He goes in the refrigerator and he has a pizza box of cold pizza. And he takes out the pizza. And he takes scissors and he like cuts the piece of pizza in half with scissors. And then he like is just like eating a half of piece of pizza while he's cleaning his gun. With his like little like fingerless gloves still on, because people do that.
And they weren't leather gloves; they were like
leatherette gloves.
Yeah,
they weren't leather. They were leather.
Naugahyde, you know, fake.
They were leatherette. Yeah, with a little Velcro straps on there. People are like, "Oh my god, yes, you complete the look." And his gun was kind of a shitty gun, but it had like custom grips on it, because that's what all police officers have. They have a .45 that has a 6-shot capacity because that's smart.
At this point, wasn't he an ex-police officer? He was
he's a patriot
from the force, and then they reinstated him?
He probably was suspended, but no, he was a police officer. But he's a zombie squad, remember? They called it the zombie squad.
Yeah. I thought he was expat Popo, but that's probably a different Sylvester Stallone movie.
I'm sure there is a movie
where he's a cop, but he's not really a cop.
Yeah, that's right. Although, I don't think they considered him a normal cop because he just went and murdered people.
Well,
so, I mean, you're not technically wrong, but at the same time, you're not right either.
Yeah.
That's the story of your life. So, we're going to take a break, folks. Why? And we're going to be right back.
Why be right when feeling wrong feels so wrong?
This, yeah. Okay. That was well done. Here on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the Unlicensed does.
Well, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know, let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to have a discussion that I think that is fairly topical considering what we're drinking. Even though I'm warming up to it. It might be because I've actually suffered brain damage from drinking it. But why do I like this? Probably because I am suffering brain damage. But
you like kangaroo feces?
It doesn't taste like kangaroo feces. I've had those.
That you're aware of.
Yeah.
What's the Australian little, over there, dingoes? What are the dogs? It tastes of dingo chow.
That's good.
Oh, good God.
Oh, that is really good
now.
You
keep coming back to it, and
I keep drinking it. I like it. I can see it now. That is excellent. 97. I like this wine right now. I like it. I am changing my tune. It's rustic. Not rustic. I mean, it's rough around the edges and it needs a lot of work, but I can see it because I'm a visionary. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to have a discussion.
It's like...
Because Scott's a pansy.
It's like your cousin that's a little overweight and everybody wants to tell you how cute she is.
What?
You end up having to take her to the high school dance. And
no, we don't want to know about you fucking your cousin, you fucking weirdo.
You're embarrassed because she's kind of rough around the edges, and then you get to the school dance and you find out that she's even rougher around the edges than you thought.
Why would you even think about your cousin, you asshole?
That's what this wine is.
Why would you think about your cousin?
Only because of the nightmares.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Nice job, cousin.
It's awful. It's this wine is awful. There's nothing redeemable about it.
I actually am going to give it a good score. So,
oh, Jesus.
So live with it, and it's going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
But no, on tonight's potpourri, we're going to have a discussion about wine values. What do we value more?
Mm.
Do we value more a wine that more closely resembles the varietal character? Or do we value a wine that, in an overall sense, is tasty?
Or maybe has some special characteristics that you might not see in that particular variety.
I'm not interested in yours. No, just those
something
two things.
Something unusual.
No, just those two
but
things.
But appealing.
No. Is it tasty? Or does it simply follow the paint by numbers? Which is more important?
Well.
And I'm not talking about.
Obviously.
Which do we weigh more?
Something that's tasty is not important to you based on your characterization of this wine as being good and getting better. And oh my God, now I get it. So tasty is obviously not important to you based on this wine. No. I'll stick by my caveat. You know, something interesting for the varietal. Sometimes it's something that we like. The big, unabashed beastiness of Hecula.
This is that, Scott. This is rattlesnake venom, man.
It is rattlesnake
venom. Open your eyes.
I'll give you that, but it doesn't. Let's get back
on the
topic of the
potpourri. Okay, go ahead. I wasn't listening to you. What did you say?
The potpourri.
You have to start from the beginning because I didn't listen to a word you said.
Sometimes interesting is more important than being closer to the varietal character and tastiness. Tasty's always good. Tasty's always good. The drinkability is important to us both, I think. And there's always a value in that. If we're talking, you know, the premise of our show is budget entry price wines, tasting just goes a long way for that. Because, you know, beyond the simple sugary equations of the Meiomis of the world or whatever, tastiness, drinkability is something that always ranks high on our scale.
Well, for most people, that's what matters. Do they like the way it tastes?
Varietal character, though, is what distinguishes one winemaker from another. Can you let the grape speak as it should? Use coy little tricks to mask what the grape really is. Let the grape show itself and, you know, make it in an artisanal style. He's blaspheming to the Lord. I think he's really off his rocker, folks.
I wonder if I'm actually hallucinating because I actually am starting to completely love this wine. I think actually, it's strange enough, now I get to speak. Not that Scott said anything wrong. I mean, he's right because there is a point where the idea about drinking wine is you want to enjoy the experience. And for the most part, normally you want to drink them that taste decent, that has redeeming characteristics. The thing is, wine is an acquired taste. So theoretically, what is tasty will depend on who you are and what you, you know. So I think, quite frankly, to me, adherence to varietal character and representing the wine itself is the truest thing. And then the consumer can then go from wine to find out what wine best suits their palate.
Right.
And that's what I kind of think. You shouldn't make a Pinot, for instance, and I know Triple E would agree with this, taste something different than what it is.
Yeah.
You shouldn't make a Zin the same way. I mean, although Zin, I think, is more of a chameleon. Cabernet can be a chameleon depending on the AVA from which it's from. Paso Robles is different than Napa, which is different than Sonoma.
Right.
And Lodi tastes like a balls. That is, you know.
I don't drink cab from Lodi.
And fuck Monterey. But
down in Monterey.
But that's kind of the thing. You can find your enjoyment within the varietal depending on the region. And then there are other things like, you know, your menage a trois, twats, or whatever they are, and that kind of shit, which I don't really consider wine per se, because they don't adhere to any kind of standards or anything. What? Well, how can you say? I mean, okay, they're made of grapes and they ferment them. That's about the only thing you have.
But then there's things that are along the same lines that are done well, and we do enjoy.
Well, what things are done along the same lines as menage a trois?
Like Bogle, they do all these blends.
Yeah, that's not the same thing as the
what
fucking Menage
a Trois.
What
I'm getting at is they try to do these kitschy, drinkable blends, and Bogle does it fairly successfully.
But they're not kitschy. What's that one that we like, the Essential Red?
Yes.
Now, if we drank it today, we would not like it as much. I think it was the first episode
not.
We ever did.
But I think that vintage was particularly better than the later vintages.
But the reason why we like that particular wine, and this is like, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
No, that was like episode like four or something.
I think it was episode one. You could pick out the Zin. You could pick out the Merlot. You could pick out the Cab within the wine. So it was the sum of its parts. But I've had Essential Red maybe two vintages since then.
It's not as good.
Well, but it's different. It's a simple, funnish red
yes.
that, you know, you can sip on your back porch and not care about.
But I think there's a lot of those wines out there. And, you know, one of the things you said is you could pick out the different varietals from it. So maybe that makes it true to its varietal character.
Well, blends but are different than a straight varietal. So if Pinot is Pinot, Pinot should be Pinot. Cab should be Cab. Zin should be Zin. Right. If it's a Zin-Cab blend, well, what is that? It's a mutt. It can be what it wants to be.
But what do the French do? Everything's a fucking blend.
The French surrender. They do that.
Everything's a fucking blend.
That is. But
typically there's something predominant and you can recognize it. Yeah. And they have a certain style about that. But
in Burgundy, it's Pinot. Well, okay. Gamay, technically. I mean, Beaujolais is technically Burgundy as well, but in Chardonnay. But
getting back to the original topic, what, why do you drink? Is it because you want that varietal, you know, trueness to the variety, and that a Pinot's a Pinot and a Cab's a Cab and a freaking Sauv Blanc is a Sauv Blanc? Or is it because of tastiness? And I think there's truth in both those arguments. And I think the things that bring us to the show, and that one of the joys of doing this is looking for those two things and then having something that's surprising. Mm-hmm. Having some unique characteristic that you just go, wow, I didn't expect that. And that's really good. And that's what's truly fun.
To
drink these different things and have something just not even necessarily rock your socks off. But, you know, on a recent episode, we had a Riesling, and it was kind of upside down in that the last lingering characteristic was this raw minerality. It wasn't
true.
Huge.
Yeah.
But it was like, where'd that come from?
Well,
it wasn't like we loved that wine, but that, you know, that was the one thing that was a little interesting about it.
But to piggyback on that, though, I also personally, yes,
is that like Persian? Like
I said
Persian?
Personally, you're drunk in the hearing. You need to drink more of the Shiraz so you feel better.
Yeah, that'll make me feel better.
It does. Scott, I'm not lying to you by saying, for some reason, this wine, I now see what everybody else sees, and I think it's magnificent. I really do. I really do. I think it's, folks, you've never seen me go from hate to this ever. And this wine now is showing me what it is, and I think it is a fucking blockbuster. That's just my opinion, and I know Scott's going to vary. Well, and quite frankly, that's Australian Shiraz. That's what it is. That is the dichotomy of Australian Shiraz, and he's not wrong for thinking the way he thinks because it is so polarizing sometimes.
Well, but I will give you this with these last couple tastes. That sour oak is dissipating. Now, maybe that's because...
Scott, what I am drinking in this thing...
We're drinking something that's probably 70% alcohol.
This thing is pure passion juice. This is amazing.
You're scaring me.
Oh,
it's late at night. We're down in the wine vault alone. You're scaring me.
It ain't that late. I'm sorry to say passion juice. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. What was I going to say?
I just something hope you went a different direction than passion
brilliant.
Juice.
Oh, no. To piggyback on...
Pretty sure you weren't going to do that.
But to piggyback on what you said about whatever. yeah, whatever. I want a wine, though, that has a direction. Okay. I want the wine to know what it wants to be.
For sure.
If you're going to be tannic, be tannic. If you're going to be fruit forward. These wines that kind of toe the line and are pseudo this, pseudo that, are things that I don't really gravitate to. You take a chance. If you're good, you're good. If you're bad, you're bad. But at least you took that chance.
Yeah. If you're going to be on Twitter, be loud or shut the fuck up.
That's fine, too. But, you know.
It's what you want out of a wine. You want it to be that loud, outspoken Twitter voice.
But those are the ones that are truly great that took the risk or have the pedigree. And that's the kind of thing. If you don't have the pedigree, take the risk. And sometimes you don't see that. You see these blasé kind of manipulated things that are paint by numbers that aren't all that interesting. Are they tasty? No, because they're not interesting. Well, for me, tasty in wine equals interesting. They aren't separate from one another.
But
not for everybody, though.
And the example you always go to is Meiomi. You know, it's a sugary thing for the masses, and Everybody sells the shit out of it.
Yeah.
People like it, but it's not the type of wine we're talking about.
No.
Now, I think they deserve credit.
They do.
For making a consistent product that people do enjoy.
Well, their bank account is the credit they receive for that. Nothing else.
They are the Budweiser of wine.
That's fair.
And they deserve credit for being that. Because, one, they've marketed it well. But they also, listen, you can't have the sales they do and you can't have the consistency across the country, across the market share. It's everywhere. It's like herpes in the 80s. It's everywhere. Everybody's got it. Everybody's carrying it, son.
So that means you have herpes?
I don't.
I'll take your word for it.
I was married in the 80s.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry you missed out on all that fun. But nevertheless, I was a child during the 80s.
You're saying because I was married, I didn't have fun?
No, I'm saying you don't have fun in general. But
my ex-wife.
Yeah, okay.
Until daddy takes your mayo me away.
I almost said something, but I didn't. Do you know why?
Because you couldn't frame a sentence properly?
No, it was a very, very easy question, but I didn't say it because it just wasn't right. I've never stopped
you before.
The Rob censor said, no, we're not going to let you put that joke on air because that's just mean. And so I stopped myself. And now you're like, what's the joke, folks? It's like Mad Libs. Make it up. Scott says something dumb. I beat him up on some sort of comment. You figured out what I was going to say.
Yeah. It's.
And Scott, you said your ex-wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Folks, do your Mad Libs right now as to what would Rob say. And quite frankly, email us at winevault@outlook.com. And we're going to read what you said on the air. That way it won't be me saying it.
Damn it. But what do we look for in a wine? You know, when we started the show, we drank an extremely out of balance amount of Zinfandels.
Yes. We need to drink more. By the way, you're going to order some stuff on wine.com tonight. We might order some.
I saw some stuff, actually. Not necessarily in teams, but what was interesting about that period of the show in our life, we would really break down these old vines ends.
Yeah, yeah.
And the different characteristics of them would pop. Mm. They would just pop. Whether it was the rustic nature of the low dye AVA specific Ravenswood old vine, or Segezio, or Rancho. Rancho Zambaca.
But all those are individually different because they're of the same grape, but the most completely different wines you've ever tasted in your entire life.
And what made us enjoy one or the other, even though we enjoyed them all, was just those little subtle intricacies of difference. Now, the Lodi is probably a bad example because it's so starkingly different. You know, we refer to that one as a beast because of its rustic, raw nature and some of the other characteristics it's had where, you know, like Segezio is probably the silkiest, more refined version.
The cab-like.
And then, you know, there was the Baron. It was just a different vanilla. Stylized vanilla oak to most over oak, probably the most cab-like. To some degree.
No, Segezio is more cab-like than Baron. And then Rancho. Braun is shit. So,
you know, I might credit Rancho Zambaco with converting the superstar to being a proper dry red wine drinker.
And if you ever had Zambaco, you'll know how it did that because it's a little temptress in the fact that it has wonderful ripe fruits. But the thing about the Zambaco, which is party piece, it has one of the more seductive noses under $20 for a Zin that you're going to find. I remember one time my last bottle of Zambaco because we found it on closeout for like $11.
Oh, my God.
And we bought a ton of it.
I've still got some of that in my basement.
Well, you should drink it. It gives it down much more shelf.
I don't know.
But you should have broke that out when Steve was there. Maybe you did, and I just didn't know it.
We had a Rancho playing marbles with the cousin from California.
But anyway.
I was drunk in Scott that night. Princess was mad at me for keep pulling stuff out of the basement.
Yeah, I was mad at you, and I was passed out.
No, this was the night the California cousin was there.
Oh, you've been drunk so many times.
Oh, this was the night where the fourth bottle of the night was the Turley.
That's stupid.
Well.
Always Turley's always the first bottle.
Well.
That's the fourth bottle. You have to be really drunk to drink Turley the fourth bottle.
The 21-year-old kids were drinking then. I'm not going to...
What's the first bottle?
Something Princess had. Klein.
Klein Old Lodi. Vine.
Yeah, the Klein Old Vine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know what you should do? Have Thomas Goss. Then you run him off. I'd still be there, though, because I love this shit.
Yeah, whatever.
So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to be right back with the review of the Thomas Goss here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks.
So,
the 2016 Thomas Goss.
No. I want to
Clorval.
Continue on Shiraz. With the subject of why we drink and what we find spectacular.
You drink because you're an alcoholic, Scott.
Well, I want to be an alcoholic. I just
you're doing a good job.
Can't drink enough to maintain that level.
There's
something we left out.
Did we?
Yeah. And this is something that we're suckers for. I'm gonna. Look on the wall. I'm going to mention these wines, and although it's this characteristic, it's different in each of them. They all have a certain characteristic that we just love. Rayburn, Turley, Hidden Ridge, ZD, Chateau Dandelion. What do those wines have that is a characteristic that we just love and go apeshit over? Be physical response or a mouth feel.
Yes.
And that's you
this
know
this wine has that.
I'm not sure I enjoy the mouth feel of this
I
wine.
I enjoy it. I love it.
But CS wines that have a mouth feel that do something. You know,
this is better than CS.
We talk about the Merlot drying effect, that astringency where you get that mouthwashing effect that just dries the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, this has that.
That's why we drink wine.
Yeah.
For the interesting characteristics. Well, let's go into the review section.
We're going to start off with Scott, folks.
As this wine opens up, and good God, when did you decant this?
8:15. It takes a 3-hour decant.
That's
it's just like Gilligan's Island.
Which is 3-hour decant, yeah. 3-hour decant.
It's
the
that?
Weather started getting rough. Rob said, hang in there. If not for the courage of that bottom of man, the wine vault would be lost. The wine vault would be lost.
Go ahead.
Atrocious sour oak I want to vomit in my mouth thing has dissipated.
Yes, it has.
Somewhat. It's still there. I would still have concerns about aging this.
I would.
I also get it, but I'm not as gaga about you as you are about this. It's okay, and the only way I'm going to recommend this is with a caveat. Don't, folks... There it is.
I love it.
There,
it's delicious.
That Mad Dog's a mean wine.
It's great. It'll get you.
Put this away.
Oh, yes.
I agree with Rob. It does have some merit to. Let's see what this thing will be. But right now, I don't really enjoy it.
Oh, I do.
this is probably one of two or three wines where I'm going to give it a score based on what it could be and not what it is now. It plainly, I do agree with the two reviews that it's got a backbone that just lends itself to aging.
No, it does.
But I'm just not sure what it's going to be in 10 years. And I feel generous in giving it an 88. It's got huge, the best characteristic for me, aside from the potential ageability of the tannins, the way that tobacco exhibits itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have some experience with wines that show tobacco that later may develop other characteristics. Minerality, some other overt minerality. But it's just, I want this to have more fruit. I want it to.
But Scott, it does.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
See, I don't know what you taste when you, but you might have been chewing cinnamon gum or something like that the whole night. I don't know what you're doing.
You had clove in this nose.
I still do.
Oh, Jesus.
It is a decadent, rich bastard of a wine. And I know I agree with Scott when he started off and when I started off, this wine was repugnant. It was a piece of shit. And it's not a piece of shit because when air hits wine, it changes and it opens. This wine is opened exponentially.
Yeah, it's different.
It is Lazarus arisen. That's from the Bible, Scott. Look it up.
Yes, I know who Lazarus is, son. Do you? It's not a department store downtown Columbus.
Now, Scott, what review do you think I'm going to provide this wine?
Oh, you're going to start with a number that's a 9 for sure.
That would be correct. But what would be the second number? It's like Price is Right.
I think you're going to go 2.
Scott knows me so well. I am actually going to provide this 92
of
my
points.
You're
just easy, son.
You probably saw me write it down.
I did not. I never look at your score.
This wine, I think, is absolutely fucking fantastic.
You write your score down early, and I don't want to know because I sometimes don't formulate my score till it's my turn.
Fucking fantastic. And the thing that gets it a 92.2, it is ageable.
Mm-hmm.
I see potential out the ass with this wine. It's only going to get better.
And
if you asked me a half an hour ago, Scott, I would say this wine was at 82.
Probably 45 minutes ago. There was a period where you just went gaga and you were starting to cream in your shorts and you were doing weird things over there.
It started getting better. And now it's just fantastic. This wine is delicious.
That little curtain you put up in between us, you're translucent behind that. I can see what you're doing. You need to stop doing that. Well, you're going to hurt yourself.
You're so emotional.
You're going to hurt yourself. I'm not emotional. I'm
just
sharing.
You can't even drink this
you're
wine
going
and understand it.
To hurt
I know
yourself.
This wine probably has too much machismo for you to really appreciate.
It's very good use of the word. You actually got it right. How subtle of you.
You're just too much of a bitch to understand this wine.
Ken, those hooked on phonics tapes are working.
I don't know. Listening. I mean, Scott, I've never
gone. Do you need any more batteries for your cassette player, by the way, when you listen to those hooked on phonics tapes?
Do you need more batteries for your vibrator?
Dude, it's all rechargeable. You just plug it into the, never mind.
It's a USB? That's nice. Anyway.
It's not a USB. It's the direct.
You know, I know the Clarendon Hills, we started off, we thought it was bad and it was good.
I am not going to say similar, but.
Well, it's not to the level of improvement. Yes. However, this wine is similar in that regard in the fact that it started off down here and ended up here. Even with your 88, you're not going to give this thing an 88 45 minutes ago. I don't even know if you give it something with an 8.
I wouldn't have given it.
Would you? I bet your rating would be 88 to 90.
Probably not. Probably 87 to 89. I still don't believe in this wine.
I believe in this wine. It's so densely packed, Scott. Listen, we were so wrong earlier.
You're so emotional. You had an emotional connection. You had a breakthrough. It's fine. It's fine.
Listen, well, Scott.
You're so emotional. Normally, it's me who's emotional. It's okay. Just embrace it. Well, it's a sign of growth. You need to embrace your emotions. You need to embrace your inner Rob, that child of your youth. When your baseball coach said, no, Rob, Go play right field. It's okay. It's okay that you were picking dandelions.
Hey, Scott, just, can I ask you a question?
Just remember.
Point this out.
You're.
It's not you're my fault, you. Scott.
People like you, kind of, sort of. You're a good person. Sometimes. Never mind anything.
You're a fucking dick. Okay. I was just waiting for something interesting to be said.
But this wine, I just don't believe in it. Unlike you. You had a connection to this. And so, folks, maybe we left this out of the potpourri, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wine is about experiences.
Oh.
And we're drinking the same bottle of wine, and Rob had... He's always going to remember this wine because he had a transformative experience where it was shit when we started out.
Eventually.
It was
not
shit.
Initially. Eventually.
And then he had a moment where it started changing for him. And then eventually it did change
what
for me,
too.
What the hell?
I mean, to aerate this thing, I'm going to aerate it 5 hours. Who the hell is going to do that,
nobody.
Man? You're going to have to age the shit out of it, then aerate
nobody.
It. Yeah.
But we did.
Yeah, you're going to have to sit this down, I would say, a minimum of 5 years before you touch it. Minimum of 5 years.
So that's my pause with it.
I believe in it, Scott. It will easily do that. I'm not the only one that thinks this. Wine Spectator and the wine enthusiast think that.
I don't know about very smart people, but the things they talked about,
yeah.
I can see that in this wine, that it's 10 years.
Yeah.
If they hadn't reviewed it that way and said 10 years, I'd be like, you're fucking crazy. But the thing that I can't get past is it wasn't just that this wine didn't hit my points. It didn't do it for me. That sour oak is a troubling characteristic for me.
But it's not there now.
And it is almost gone for me.
Yeah. It's
almost.
Just the dense tannin. It's drippy. And it's medium to full. The body has increased. Everything about this wine.
You can increase body over it being open.
You can increase body.
It can change the mouthfeel. It's still medium-ish body.
Everything can create. It can change. Unlearn what you have learned, young Padawan.
This isn't a little blue pill where you can give something more body.
It's not my fault that the bottom half of the bottle was laced with LSD. That's not my fault. But they did it. Apparently, when you get drunker, this wine tastes better. I mean, that's so shocking with alcohol. I don't know why. The more you drink, the better we taste. I wonder if that's actually their slogan. They should make it. The more you drink, the better you taste. It's like, don't worry. If you don't like the first bottle, you'll like the second bottle better. Maybe that's a good slogan.
I think that's a slogan for... House of Bill or Putin.
You had two bottles? Well, then try three.
The more you drink, the better we taste.
I think that's actually a good thing for Tom. They should actually look into that slogan. You know what, Thomas Goss? You can use that yourself. You can use it for free. The more you drink, the better we taste. That's fantastic. Because you know what? It's true.
Or you can just go with, I'm dead.
Well, that's
indeed.
That's the early part. I mean, you get over that hump when you realize it doesn't taste like a bum sour asshole. It actually tastes good. I've never gone though from the dichotomy of, oh my God, I think I'm going to be sick to this is delicious. That has never happened really, because on the Clarendon Hills we said, my God, this is spent, and they said, no, I have life left in me. But we were also much drunker that night, too. So,
here's the thing. I'll be honest. When you
started
with your change of dreams on this, I really thought you were just fucking with me.
I'm not fucking with you.
It was so bad.
I'm not going to lie. Scott, it sucked ass earlier on. I'm not like making that shit up. And you weren't wrong. That oak in what that tobacco-ish thing was really bad. It was not what you want. And there was no fruit, and it tasted like an unripe grape cluster that they said, we don't have enough patience. We'll just rip it off the vine now.
And Rob has not twisted my arm to say, this is different now. He kept pouring it. he kept pouring me more, and I'm saying no, I'm saying
the more
no.
you drink, yeah.
And I maybe had a glass and a
half. He said no, meaning yes.
Oh, Jesus.
But if you drink the whole bottle, folks, it tastes better. That's what I'm saying.
The point is, I wasn't influenced. Other than he poured more wine in my glass,
yep.
it eventually did open up to the point where I could stomach it. It didn't make me want to stick a Magnum in my forehead, where earlier in the evening, this was really bad. Oh. So I just don't have faith that this is going to get where you think it is to get to a 92. Because it's not a 92 now. The only way it's a 92.
It's a 92 now.
Is based on the cellar selection ability
nope.
of it.
Nope. And let me explain the 92 real quick, folks. First of all, it has a backstrap of blackberry and plum.
Oh, my God.
Scott.
Remember the second half of the bottle that had the LSD in it? You're having a nice little trip.
You can't see it.
I like to dream way up on the sunny streets.
You're on a magic carpet ride. Okay, I've turned Scott's mic off.
Magic carpet ride!
And so now I'm going to have my moment. Okay. So a backstrap of blackberry. Nobody can hear you. And then it leads into that tobacco. It's the oak is slightly off kilter, but it's not bad at all. And then the party piece in this, like they say in the reviews, is this grippy, massive fucking tannin. And that tannin is only going to dissipate, which is good because it needs to balance out the wine. And it's going to show more of that front area that is so much better.
It doesn't exist.
And so with that, you see a 92 is possible. And quite frankly, when you have a wine that has this much ageability, you realize there's something there, and it's delicious. And now I will let Scott actually talk again.
Or you don't. Listen, Rob, so he likes it. He had a transformational moment. And to get back to the potpourri.
I love it, Scott. Wonderful wine.
This is one of the beautiful things about wine. Now, I don't share it with him tonight. I mean, I witnessed it.
Scott had a transformational moment. What are the professional reviews? A 92 and an 89. That's basically what we just did.
It's true.
So that's what this wine is. And I already said
that Shiraz will separate people.
This wine is such. Everything Scott says is right. Everything I say is right. Partly because this wine, I mean, if it doesn't hit you right, you're not going to like it or you're going to love it. Because it's just how you take it. And I understand where Scott's coming from. Now, I think that for some reason, I'm noticing a little bit more expansiveness than he is at this point. But
it happened for you.
I'm a little more freer in drinking it because I like it more. Scott really doesn't like it.
I didn't want any more of the sour oak.
And you really have to be willing to commit yourself to the suck in order to find the good. And I was willing to do that, and he hasn't. And there's less for him to drink because I drank it all.
But then again, you know, you kept pouring. You kept saying, no, it's there, it's there, it's there.
It is there.
And eventually it did open, and I got past the sour oak. I still think those bad oak characteristics are there. And the one thing we disagree about, I like the tannins in this wine.
Mm.
I don't think it's as tannic as all that.
It is, though.
I think it's tannic, but I don't think it's as tannic as it's not Hecula.
It's more tannic than Hecula.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Far more tannic than Hecula.
Cray.
We've both drank a lot of Hecula. I realize that you think that Hecula is Hecula is more of a myth.
What I think these tannins are is they're ageable tannins.
They are.
And you had a bottle of Hecula that you felt was spent. Mine are all still going strong.
That was a corked bottle. It wasn't spent. It was corked.
Okay. All right.
I'm actually saving the Hecula for posterity. I have one Hecula left, I'm not going to touch that for a long time just to see what happens.
Six.
Well, drink them, man. They're not.
Six.
There's no reason.
Actually, I've got three left.
There's no reason to hold on to that. Drink two. Then the last one, you hold on to see what happens.
I'm holding on to all of them.
There's no reason
to. I'll break them out. I'll break them out one at a time, but I'm not drinking it just to drink
it. It's an $11 wine. It's not that special.
For what it is, it's a beast. We
buy
love
Breca.
It.
You can still buy Breca, and Breca is very, very good. Maybe
Breca's
better.
Breca's good too.
Or you can buy this, and this is better.
Well,
I don't know, folks. We've gone on.
I
long
might
enough.
Buy some of this.
I will buy more of this.
How many? Case? Half a case?
Two.
Okay.
I mean, I will slow down. I don't think it's the newest thing since sliced bread. I'm giving it 92 simply because I see the ageability and I really like what I see.
I
enjoy what's there, and I think that I would go a 90 to a 92. 92
okay.
is the top of the mark. Scott, I think.
Question.
Yeah.
Do you think this could rise to the heights of the Clarendon Hills Grenache?
No.
Okay.
No, Lord, no.
Okay.
But it's not even the same stratosphere of price range. That's a $70 bottle of wine.
I
this
get
is
it,
a,
but. But when you paid for the Clarendon Hills, it wasn't that much, was it?
$60.99.
Was it? I thought that was the current market price.
That's what I paid.
When we did that.
I paid $60 for it.
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, Clarendon Hills and this one are not in the same stratosphere class. I gave that a 97. I think I like that better. Quality-wise, if I were actually giving a, putting it in a place right now,
yeah, it's down the board.
I would fourth tier, fourth level is where I would put it somewhere. Partly because I counterbalance it with your review. Hall of Fame, no.
And not only that, but our, as you've noted, our differentiation of this is not it's probably not going to be unusual.
No, and it does get in the Hall of Fame, folks.
Okay,
but
I can live with it.
Yeah, lower tier Hall of Fame because of your review.
Yeah.
We have to balance it out, Scott.
And we have to be honest. There are some things that where the ageability, it's possible that this bad oak thing that was so apparent on the front side would only become, that would be the thing that would be highlighted.
I don't think
I'm not sure that
fruit's not there. If the fruit, I think, is what's going to appear.
Okay.
What's there, what's prominent, is going to dissipate. What's not there is, I mean, it seems counterintuitive, is what's going to show. Because
often, but typically on these wines that we've described as ageable, they haven't had this. I'm still going to call it a flaw, even though it did dissipate. Dude, that sour oak was fucking ever present on the front. It was so strong and so bad.
You read the reviews. They said don't touch. I mean, they almost
don't
said
don't touch
this.
It. Don't touch it now.
And they meant that. And there was a reason why they meant that.
I think it would have been better if they'd have said that.
Stronger wording. It's like, don't touch this for at least three
four years.
Yeah.
Give it 4 hours or 4 years.
Yes, folks. 4 or 5 hour decant before you drink this wine.
There have been a couple of these where we've said, oh, this is ageability. But on those shows where we've been wrong about it, we actually like the wine as a drink now. Col de Sasso, we said that's got ageability. Wrong. We were wrong.
I never said that. You did.
Okay.
And Col de Sasso does not have ageability.
Does not.
No.
You did say that.
You liked that a lot more than I did. I thought it was competent, but.
You said you're the one who said it was ageability, that it might be better.
No.
I just fought alone.
Yeah, I think actually.
Dude, I've never been the lead on ageability.
You creamed your pants on that wine.
Particularly back then.
You creamed your pants
on that
wine. I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's great, man. Great.
We like that wine a lot.
Yeah. But this wine, though, I enjoy. And yeah, I think that to buy it would make a lot of sense because you're going to have something. And for those amateur wine collectors that want something for their cellar that's cheap, this is a wine to buy that's worth trying to age.
I would say take a swing at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Put,
so
put
it's
one
a,
away. And in our rule.
Wine. It's the Wine Vault seller selection.
in our rule that we suggest, particularly in this price range, don't buy just one, buy two. Because if you have one and it's really fucking good,
you want that second one.
And at $17, spend the money, put it away, see if Rob's right. But it's definitely got the possibilities for a seller selection.
Yep, seller selection from the Wine Vault, which makes you in the Hall of Fame somewhere. So
makes you want to move. Makes me want to move.
For Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault.
Makes
good night.
You wanna move. Makes you wanna move.